learned the halachas of using one oven, regular oven now. Microwaves we'll get to a different time. But a regular oven, and not a self-cleaning oven, just a regular oven. Either electric or gas, makes no difference. And you want to use it both for milchiks and fleishiks. Obviously, lechatchila you can't use it for milchiks and fleishiks at the same time, even though there are possible ways of doing that, but that we're not going to speak about, because that's something that should be avoided. And what's it called? That's not lemaisa. Okay, so we're talking about using it at different times. So the thing is the following. You should designate the oven for the major use that you use it for. In other words, if you mostly use it for meat, it's a meat oven that sometimes you use for milchiks. But the main use of the oven is meat, or the opposite. We'll use the case where you're using it for meat and you want to use it for dairy temporarily. But the main use is for the meat. If you can translate the same thing the opposite way, the same halacha would apply the opposite way too. So you basically have a meat oven that you use chofshi for meat. You bake meat things, meat pies, or you cook meat dishes in it that are liquid, uncovered, no problem. So basically, it's a meat oven. And the meat, again, you cook without any restrictions. Now, you want to use it for dairy. So the first thing you have to do is clean out the oven. There shouldn't be any residue, not on the racks and not on the walls. Preferably, you should clean it with an oven cleaner, but that's not 100% necessary. It just should be clean. There shouldn't be any residue. There can be discolorations, but not what's it called, fat or grease or pieces of food or whatever. That has to be totally clean. That's the first thing. Second thing is that the oven can be used either for after it's cleaned. Okay, it doesn't have to be kashered. It can, if you're only going to use dry dairy foods or covered dairy foods. Covered means not hermetically sealed, but where the steam can't escape easily. So it's covered well. Okay. But it doesn't have to be airtight. Okay. But covered well. So if you're cooking in a dairy oven, in a meat oven, dairy that is not liquid at all, that's dry, okay, completely dry, then you can cook it uncovered. You don't have to kosher the oven, and what's it called? Right, and what's it called? And you don't put it directly on the rack, the what's it called, the meat rack. You put some aluminum foil down or whatever. Okay? So that is what's it called? That is using... No questions yet. Let's listen and then we can ask questions. So that's the first thing. Okay? So that's dry foods or covered foods. Then there don't have to be any koshering. You don't have to have any time waiting or whatever. Just the oven has to be clean. So you can use it for dairy things after meat. If the oven's clean, either the dairy is dry, right, or it is covered. Okay. What happens though if you don't want to use it for dry or covered, you want to use it for liquid things that you don't going to cover? Then you have to clean out the oven, you have to leave it for 24 hours, and you have to kosher it in between. Okay. To use it for uncovered liquid dairy, you need cleaning, 24 hours, and koshering. Okay? And the koshering should be done after the 24 hours. Now, the koshering is done by after you clean it, and you leave it for 24 hours. You leave the oven on to the highest heat that it gets to with the racks inside. And for this, that is considered kosher. That now, you can use it for uncovered liquid dishes. Okay, then when you want to go and use it again for fleishiks, you have to wait 24 hours and kasher it again, unless you're going to be using it for fleishiks that are covered or dry fleishiks. But if you want to use it now for liquid fleishiks again, you're going to have to re-kasher it, wait 24 hours and re-kasher it. Okay, so that is basically what's it called? You're basically using the meat oven for all kinds of meat dishes, right? But if you want to use it for dairy, then if the dairy is going to be covered, you only have to clean out the oven. You don't have to kasher it or wait 24 hours. If you want to use it for dry dairy, also same thing, dry or covered. If you want to use it for liquid dairy with a steam and you're not going to cover it, then you have to have cleaning 24 hours and kashering the way that we describe. In any case, if you're using an oven for milchiks and fleishiks, like on and off, you never should put anything directly on the racks. For instance, don't put a piece of pizza directly on the racks, or a piece of meat directly on the racks. Always put a piece of aluminum foil down so the food doesn't touch the rack directly. In fact, it's a good idea that if you're using an oven for milchiks and fleishiks intermittently, that you should always put aluminum foil down on the rack so it limits the spills onto the sides of the oven and onto the racks or whatever, which makes it less of a problem. Okay, so again, you're using an oven predominantly for milchiks or for fleishiks. Now you want to use it the other way. If you're using it for what's it called, dry of the opposite or covered of the opposite, all you have to do is clean the oven. You don't have to wait and you don't have to kasher. If you're using it for liquid things of the opposite, then, and uncovered, then you have to wait 24 hours, clean it, wait for 24 hours and kasher it, the way that we described. What if you want to put part of the things in there, but you want to eat them at the opposite thing? You want to bake, what's it called, something in the oven, and you want to use it with milchiks. Okay? So then, if the thing, the oven has been used for fleishiks within 24 hours, and you're not covering the part of the thing, okay, you should not bake something in there that you're going to use directly with milchiks. If you use the oven for fleishiks within 24 hours, you can eat it after fleishiks, but not with fleishiks itself. Not just the opposite. You can't eat it with milchiks. Eat it after milchiks or whatever. If the oven hasn't been used for 24 hours, even though it hasn't been kashered, then you can. If the thing is, even liquid, you can eat it with the other thing. You shouldn't make it in that oven l'chatchila, but if you did, you can use it with the other thing directly. Okay. Those are the halachas of Parith. Okay.
What could be an example of something dry that's milk?
Dry? No, things that are not made with liquidy cheese, but just hard cheese. Or even that melts. But it melts, doesn't have a lot of steam. What else could
pizza
be a milk thing? What?
Pizza, for example, is yellow cheese.
Pizza, it depends. If you see that it has a lot of steam, then yes. If it's not, then it's not liquid, no. Yeah?
Two questions. Rav said that the oven would need to be koshered. How long does one need to leave the oven
koshering? They say an hour, half an hour, as long as it reaches the highest temperature that ever reached. And you know that the oven's hot, right? Usually that the air and the sides are the same. Once the thermostat says it reached that temperature, they say she'll leave it for an hour, but even a half an hour is okay.
And if the oven hasn't been used in 24 hours and you want to cook parv things ahead of time, say you do all your parv stuff before you
right.
Cook the fleishiks
for okay.
Shabbos, the parv is parv.
Parv is
you can't
okay.
Eat it with the milchik meal, l'chatchila,
right.
But it has all the...
Right, it's not fleishik, right. It's not fleishik, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our challahs, because we either cooking them in a fleishik oven or a milchik oven, and then, so they're never parv.
No, they are parv. They, challahs are dry.
Are dry
and you can, right, you can cook them immediately after a, what's it called, in a meat oven, right, if it's clean, and you can eat it with the other thing. as long as it doesn't touch the thing itself. Yeah.
My dairy oven cooks the challahs better than my meat oven. So if I make sure it's clean and I haven't used it in 24 hours...
No, even if you use it within 24 hours. Challah is dry. Right?
That's dry.
Right.
Okay.
Dry, and you're not cooking it in a kli. The only problem over here is zeya, and the zeya doesn't exist because there's no steam, because it's what's it called, it's a dry thing. The steam is negligible. Then you can even see to inflation. Dry things, yeah. The problem is only with liquid things.
If it's a liquidy thing.
Yeah, and you cover it or something.
No, you have to cover it. You use it with input process after a special surah.
What?
Does it have to be baked with a special surah?
No, because you're not baking it with milk. It's not. The milk is in it. In it. That's still not
definitely. Even though the officer says you can't have it with meat.
Yeah, but it's not milchik of bread that there's a gzeir on that. It's not milchik of bread.
If it's parav, then it's chiskus basari.
What?
If it's parav, then it's chiskus basari. Does it affect the kli that you're cooking in?
Give me an example of what you're talking about.
It's a part of a kli that you put into the oven.
Right. And the oven is in, and the what's in there is liquid?
It's liquid but covered.
And covered? No, it doesn't affect the kli.
It doesn't affect the way that it's dry in the oven.
Right. Because the kli is dry too. Yeah.
My rabbi used to, in terms of going between the parv and the fleishig and the milchig, he said the oven always has to be cold. If I cooked fleishig and then I'm going to cook something parv, I have to make sure the oven's cold before I can switch to the next thing. It's not...
No. Yeah.
Does a person make parv things during the 24 hours that they're waiting to kosher? Can they use for parv?
To use it for power of the things, it depends. If the power of the things are dry, yeah. If they're liquid and covered, yeah. If they're liquid and not covered, then you, then they, l'chatchila, you can't use it with the other kind of thing. Cake batter is usually considered liquid. Especially, what's it called, liquidy cake batter. Yeah, the steam. There's plenty of steam by cake batter.
Cookies would be dry.
Cookies are dry like bread. Yeah.
Steam by cake batter.
What?
No steam.
There's no steam at all.
But it comes out. It's solid when it goes in as liquid. So
during the process, how does it turn solid if the water doesn't evaporate?
You put it in the oven. You go do something.
Same with challah.
It becomes solid if it's closely gluten in the joint hardens up as it's affected by heat. So that's reasonable.
You have to see again if it's not exceptionally liquidy with a steam, then it's not a problem. I don't know. It depends on the metzias. I don't know. I never had my head in the oven when a pig batter was making, or for that matter, anything else.
Oven, on our oven. There's steam no matter what.
No, steam means from a liquidy thing is extreme steam, and the other steam, there's always some kind of steam, but that's negligible. That's not called zeya.
Like potatoes. I make fried potatoes, and when I do them in my milchik oven that doesn't have a fan, it's a toaster oven, it creates a lot of steam in there, and the potatoes cook better.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's make it clear, and I don't mean... We're not talking about toaster oven. Just talking about regular big ovens.
Okay, fine.
Not toast. Toaster ovens you can't use for milchik and fleishik. You have to use the milchik, fleishik, and that's it.
Because it's too small.
It's too small. You can't kasher it. You can't do anything with it.
What about parves in a milchik oven?
A toaster oven, no. It's like, then it's mamish always as if it would be cooked in a kli with the meat. Meat kli, and then you have all the halachas of parv cooked in fleishik or things or whatever. That v'chatchila you can't cook it in there for use with the second thing ever, but the oven, if you used it, it's a toaster oven is like a pot, like a fleishig pot or a milchik pot.
So I can cook my parv things in it, but then I can only eat after my fleishig, not with my fleishig.
Right.
Two questions. When the rabbi mentioned the oven should be clean, how clean?
Clean enough that there's no food residue. It could be discolored. It could look, what's it called? Look, burnt stuff, completely burnt, can still be there. But any food that still looks like food or grease or oil or whatever has to be taken off. Huh?
Any size leftover?
Yeah, because once you start making with sizes, it's maybe the thing will touch that part or whatever, and won't be bottled. it should be, what's it called, should be clean. If it's just caked on ashes, you know, what's it called, burnt things, that's not a problem.
And fat,
fat, you should clean it with a something that removes grease, with an oven cleaner.
How covered?
It doesn't have to be airtight, even if some steam escapes, but doesn't go straight up, and what's it called, by the time it gets up, it dissipates its heat, that's okay. In other words, just cover it like a regular covering of a pot. Doesn't have to be more than a covering of a pot. If you cover it with aluminum foil, it should be covered well around. There's no place open, and that's okay. Doesn't have to be airtight. Okay.
Is there any difference with
the
turbo
oven? No. A turbo oven, a regular oven, they're all the same thing. The difference would be a self-cleaning oven, which we'll get to next week. A microwave oven is different. Toaster oven, we already said. What else could make a difference? That's the only kind of
oven. Self-cleaning oven is different for these halachos?
Yes. Self-cleaning oven, the kashering is a different kind of kashering. You don't have to wait 24 hours for it, and you can kasher it immediately and use it right away.
But aside from the kashering, then...
is there any difference? No. Only the kashering can be done right away without 24 hours. And you don't have to clean it out.
Right.
Because the kashering cleans it.
Okay.